Welcome to Ankh Live On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. Ankh Live On Air is a podcast from Ankh Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Ankh Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Arturo Luisa Benilla, MD, MSED, FACP, Gastroenterology Program Director and Medical Director of Clinical Research at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia, to discuss the utility of artificial intelligence in oncology and its potential to improve the viability of precision medicine and streamline cancer prevention and treatment. In our exclusive interview, Luisa Benilla explained how AI can be used to optimize patient care, provided insight into the research that has been done to develop potential applications for AI in oncology, and shed light on some of the barriers that have to be overcome in order to effectively implement AI in oncology. Would you say that we're currently using technology to its fullest potential? How would you define our current capabilities?
Yeah, no, that's a very relevant question. So the short answer is no, we still have a lot of room to grow. But there are a certain number of developments that have been encouraging and in that space. And what we're looking forward to is to make sure that not only we're using the right technologies, but it's not just created in a vacuum, right? So anything that's been created or developed is all focused on the patient and, you know, the providers and everyone who's helping them to fight their cancer. And yeah, once again, there's a number of things that have been happening in the space, but there's a lot of opportunity. And that's where the future, of course, in cancer, and I think in many other places in healthcare.
I'm sure we could take the next 3 hours to talk about this, but put it succinctly, how can we use AI to optimize patient care in oncology?
Yes, so there's different buckets of where we can potentially use AI. The first one, which is straightforward and ripe, is typically in clinical decision support, right? So oncology is a very innovative but also costly enterprise for everyone involved, and we want to decrease costs while we're also improving the outcome and access to patients. So one of the first things I envision to be very positive is to try to find the right patients for the right treatment, the right time, kind of like the epitome. I think we hear this over and over, which is precision oncology, right? So being able to not only find which patients have the specific biomarker that the patient may respond to, but also find the best drug that could be used for that patient and make sure that we do pretty probably like real world time developments in terms of understanding the outcomes and start to find different cohorts of patients that benefit the most. So instead of just, you know, rolling the ocean to try to find a patient with an NTRK fusion, we can use technology to find, okay, what are those patients that have the most likelihood to have this biomarker based on the data that we have? And it all comes to sharing that data, make sure that we all come together to collaborate, because the AI is not gonna solve the problems on their own. It's a matter of collaboration. And it also comes into what is the use case. So the use case, as I mentioned, precision oncology is one of them. The second one that I feel is essential is detection of cancer or characterization of that potential, you know, tumor appearance or biomarkers, but also the microenvironment, and use, for example, digital pathology for that, or using AI for computer vision and looking into early diagnosis of lung cancer or other lesions that be concerning. So all those different developments that have happening slowly and steady, they need to come together at some point, and we can use that. And lastly, the one I feel very passionate about is clinical trials. So clinical trials in oncology is the way we're going to build the future for medicine, right? So right now there's so many clinical trials, but very few of them enroll. I mean, COVID-19 actually is even worse because we haven't even been able to find patients who can get access to those treatments. And many of those developments are going to be halted for years. So using technology and AI to maybe find those patients, get them activated using just-in-time approaches, using technology, it's a significant opportunity that we have. And there's certain developments that I think are worth mentioning in that space. For example, for screening, there's some digital apps that are looking for screening and looking for the spots in the skin, right? So in the same way people do it to check for if a suit suits me from home, and I just order it online and get it. Hopefully we can use technologies to also find, follow-up of moles or things that are not seen before and after, and using those tools to find maybe you need to get screened by a dermatologist, and maybe click something in the system, connect your EHR, and then get a referral for discussion. That's an example. In terms of biomarkers, there's a number of companies, developments that are just matching patients to the right biomarker and finding the one is matched to insurance, matched to the patient location, what is approved in their environment, and that can save us money and get patients access to treatments. And lastly, clinical trial matching solutions. So there are ways that we can use AI not only for using basic techniques such as OCR, which is optimal optical recognition of characters, and using NLP, which is natural language processing, putting all the data together. And then match that to databases such as clinicaltrials.gov, add that on the old layers of the patient information, and instead of spending hours going through different things for matching, it just tells you immediately which match is available for which biomarker and which patients, et cetera. So that's something that I'm very passionate about and certainly the way of the future for many, many involved.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on some of the research that has been done to develop potential applications for AI in oncology?
Yeah, so most of the research that has been done so far is unfortunately performed by companies. There's not a lot of efforts from the industry from pharma companies or by sponsors like the NCI to understand technologies. Everything is pretty nascent. There's some grants that have been given to different hospitals looking for digital pathology or for other solutions like that, but not a whole lot has been shown in terms of outcomes. And I think that's a major gap that we need to overcome, particularly as the FDA is looking at these solutions as potential ways of the future. So what they call AI as a medical device, it requires a lot of different regulatory aspects that need to be overcome in order for them to get them in front of patients. So having that research will be very, very important at this point in time. One of the things that I feel has been promoted by different entities, such as ASCO, for example, is using simplification of things such as the M-code effort, trying to simplify the way we integrate with electronic health records. And that may help us to get better access. So those innovative companies using, different HL7-based approaches and integrated to clinical trials and also to other data sources, we can get things moving forward. But it's pretty nascent at this point in time, and probably that's why we don't have anything in front of us right now.
And are there any other significant barriers to implementing AI in oncology?
Well, I feel the first one is adoption, right? So we need to stop being afraid of technology. And it's just a normal process. We're not, as physicians, we're not first adopters, and it's hard to get that. Second, we're not the one exerting the change. We as physicians are not heavily involved into doing things on the technology side that typically is more delegated to engineers, et cetera. So I feel that the oncologists have a major role to play, and hopefully there's a number of physicians and other stakeholders in oncology space that are highly motivated so they can become part of that change. So that's the first component. A barrier is just that we as physicians are not involved in any of those developments. So just a few entrepreneurs here and there. The other one is trying to make it affordable. People start thinking about technologies used at the clinic and they start saying, oh, implementation costs. Is this something that my hospital has to pay for now? What is the return on investment? So all that has to be really well defined now and have appropriate support to make it cost efficient and also actionable. There's a lot of great solutions that have happened in the space for different things, not only in oncology, but other things in medicine and beyond, but they may not end up being successful because they're too expensive or they're not really meant to help many patients or it's for high cost situations. If we can reduce costs and we can improve outcomes, of course, that's the way to make it. But we need to make sure that we find the best use cases and that is not expensive. And lastly is validation and understanding, right? So we all need to know that these tools are not going to burden our daily practice. We're already sick and tired of clicking on EHRs and getting things just to prove that you're actually doing the right care. hopefully these solutions are helping us the other way. Actually, we don't do more clicks, we do less clicks, and patients get access to treatments and options in a much more efficient fashion. So if we can close that gap, I think we will be in our way to expand the way oncology and AI gets integrated.
Now, with that said, what sort of timeline could we be looking at before we start to see widespread adoption of AI in oncology?
Yeah, so I feel that there will be a few use cases that are more ready for prime time. One of them is potentially the use of AI for clinical decision support, right? So patients getting involved in an algorithm that help them to find if there's an appointment that they're missing or something that needs to happen. And it's integrated with their EHR and maybe their insurance or the institution they get treated at, so they can get appropriate access to care. So that's straightforward. And now with the age of telehealth amid COVID-19, things can get much better. There's a number of efforts happening to help patients get access to their own oncolytics and using algorithms for that. And that's AI-based and gets improved by, you know, machine learning. So basically it finds the gaps on the data and things that were not done appropriately and kind of self-corrects to really favor the patient access to treatment. So that's one easy, straightforward timeline. The other one is matching to clinical trials. I mean, this is just a straightforward algorithm. It's just matching parameters with one another. And there is a number of efforts on that space that are really encouraging. And the other ones will be the use of technology for prescriptions or for things that are going to help you to get the best options connected to, you know, cost and whatnot. So maybe get all these new discounts or rebates that sometimes you have to go to your pharmacy and get all that, maybe use that with technology and AI as well. That's the short term. I think in the long term, there is probably a number of years before we all get used to AI. I don't anticipate anything being prime time and used as often as a Star Trek kind of a thing for at least the next decade. But it is nascent, and I think the more treatment options we find, the more biomarkers we have, and the more costly, honestly, the healthcare gets, the better the field is ripe for actually getting solutions that are going to overcome those issues. So that's the way of the future, and hopefully we can get there soon.
As a, you know, follow-up, is there any concern among oncologists that AI would be sort of overstepping its bounds in replacing the role of oncology providers, or is everyone pretty much on board with its potential?
Yes, that kind of traces back to the prior comment I made that's why we need to be involved. That's why oncologists need to be part of the process so they don't happen in a vacuum or outside of what we're doing. So one of my, you know, my pet peeves or things that I always do is that whenever I'm being asked to work in a project is, can we be involved? Can I get back to you with feedback from oncologists? So it could be a great idea and an amazing PowerPoint, right? What amazing architecture and the database structure. But it needs to be actionable and it needs to be something that we can benefit from in terms of efficiencies, in terms of helping us to deliver the care to the patients. These days, over 70-80% of our time is consumed by administrative tasks and only 20% actually taking care of our patients, which is what we signed up for when we went to medical school and training. So we didn't train for, like, you know, 12 years or more just to simply sit down on a computer and just get, you know, forms ready for the patient to get whatever I talked to them for 10 minutes. So if we get that kind of mindset in those innovators, the ones who are developing the AI, the more successful it's going to be for everyone. And hopefully we can collaborate to really make it meaningful for everyone.
Is there anything else that you would like to emphasize?
Well, I think that the future is coming upon us, and digital health has received a major boost by, you know, for whatever it is for COVID, by COVID-19. So I think digital solutions have been advanced for probably about 5 to 10 years now with this. And this is time to, you know, get a silver lining about this crazy situation. So if we can use these learnings for us to develop better software, better solutions, better algorithms, of course, many of us are on board. So looking forward to that.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.